This is Diablo, and I'm in the KBU studios with the one and only
Jamila Bordone, that is.
Yeah, and she does one of my favorite shows down here.
Guess Who's Coming to Radio.
Yeah, every first and
second and fourth. God,
second and fourth. You always do that. Second and fourth. I'm every other, so we rotate up every once in a while. So what song you turn me on to tonight for the show?
Hey, you talking about Janelle Monae and crew, Wonderland Records crew and others. And I think it may have been a response to the murder of Michael Brown. There's been so many of these state-sponsored murders, I can't even remember at this point. But I think it was a direct response to Michael Brown's murder. And so the first version of it was just a track they uploaded on SoundCloud. And it was just percussion and chanting. And then they named a whole bunch of names of people who were the victim of state-sanctioned murders, a.k.a. police terrorism.
Yeah. So we were just talking about the different marches and the different responses and different attitudes towards the marches, the Women's March, the protest march on Friday comparatively, and then the march that's happening this Saturday. And, like, how do we keep people mobilized and participate in these marches? And you had some nice commentary. Do you want us to talk about that a little bit?
Well, first I want to talk a little bit about mobilization. And I actually talked about this on my show earlier than, you know, what we're talking about right now. And there's mobilization and there's organization. So everyone who organizes has mobilized at least once in their lives, but not everybody who mobilizes organizes. And so I think the key is to get everyone to organize. I think people they tend to be reactionary when they do these mobilizations, and they focus around one and at the most two issues. For the Women's March in particular, the focus was on getting rid of Trump. I don't think that's what you need to focus on, because the messenger goes, the message still remains. And so that's the same thing with any movement. The messenger could go, but the message, the idea still remains. And so if you are marching, if you are mobilizing with no clear set of demands, then the march that you have done is not effective. You are not sending a message to change the system in which people are oppressed. The goal should be to organize to eliminate the system of oppression, which affects us all. You should not focus on my rights being taken away. I don't want to be grabbed. I don't want these things to happen to me. That should not be your focus. The focus should be, again, to organize around eliminating the system of oppression, which affects all of us. And so that's when you go into organization. And when you start organizing, you see things in a way which are intersectional. And so you were talking earlier about there was a photo where a woman carried a sign, "We hope to see you at the Black Lives Matter march," something to that effect.
"We hope we see you nice white ladies at the next Black Lives Matters march."
There you go. So what I saw in the course of these marches, it was definitely focused on a white feminism. I passed through one of these marches and they were saying Black Lives Matter, but it was clear that it was just a chant. People aren't going to pull a John Brown. People are not going to pull a Marilyn Buck and actually be accomplices in the struggle for African liberation. They're not going to put themselves on the line in the struggle for Native people's liberation. As people can see, or they may have checked, Trump has signed an executive order to maintain what's going on in North Dakota. I did not see a lot of these people out to get rid of Trump on the front lines to support indigenous Native peoples. And so that's where you get the difference between mobilization and organization.
Yeah. I guess I'm hopeful that people are starting to become more enlightened and awakened. And I think that's one of the things as part of the KBU anti-oppression group that I belong to is we have a principle, like, meet people where they are, not where you want them to be. It'd be right. Nice if people were at a higher level. Yeah. so people are so complacent before, and this is kind of a wake up call. And it, you know, I had the same reaction when this whole time when Trump was running, and people were kind of, oh yeah, okay, Muslims, okay, yeah, you know, build the wall, okay, yeah, trans rights, or, you know, and all of a sudden grab them, and all of a sudden they're like, came out of the woodwork.
Right.
But it's a beginning. People are starting to become more enlightened and aware. And so I'm hoping that this momentum continues. There's this idea that the first 6 to 9 months is crucial, and the shock and awe, all the stuff they're trying to push through so quickly. Teresa Mitchell had an article, which I just posted up on the KBOO website, talking about that. And maybe I'll play a little sample of her talking about that later from her show last week. Press watch. Anyway, so anything else you want to say? That was just, I love you. You bring the knowledge. You know, I listen to your show. Oftentimes I'm at home getting ready to come down here for my show at midnight, and you're on at 8, correct?
Yeah.
Sometimes earlier.
So the second week is 7.
Yeah. So sometimes you have a 2-hour block, sometimes you have a 3-hour block, and I'm off at home listening, and you've done some fantastic shows. You don't just bring the music, you bring the knowledge. And that's what KBOO is about, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many things that I do want to say. I think that you can't depend on identity politics to guide where you want to go.
Can you just stop real quick?
Yes.
And so maybe our listeners, and myself included, don't fully understand what the term identity politics means. So can you maybe define that if you have a second?
Absolutely. Before we get to that, I agree with you in terms of meeting people where they're at. That is a huge component of organization, is that, you know, not all of us went to college, not all of us have amount of money to do things. And so you need to look at things in a mass movement, a mass struggle, and that's going to take lots of people, regardless of income level, regardless of status. And so I did want to say that. In terms of identity politics, a perfect example would be, vote for Hillary Clinton because she's a woman. Why? Her politics are destructive to people of African descent. Why would I vote for her just because she's a woman? Well, you want Trump to get it. So that is a perfect example. You are forging these movements based on a certain identity. You feel like you are going to have a better experience as a woman because a woman is president. You feel like Barack Obama was going to speak to you as a person of African descent because he is, even though they are the exemplary situation of neocolonialism. They are the exemplary situation of capitalism, of imperialism. They are not going to do anything better in terms of our liberatory struggle. So a lot of people were looking at the Women's March as a women's struggle to get rid of Trump. Like, once we get rid of Trump, then all of these things are, you know, it's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be a little. No, you need to eliminate the whole system. So the march also, to me, looked at, well, we're here marching in order to encourage a more subtle form of repression, a kinder, gentle form of. We want to be at the seat at the table. It's like the Ban Bossy movement, all of these things. And again, you have to eliminate the whole movement, and you have to look at how other struggles correlate with that. You can't, like, there have been people talking about, no, we need to really discuss how police terrorism affects our communities. And you have these women going, no, we need to talk about Trump. It's like, no, you need to step aside and let people have their self-determination for liberation. And so this Women's March wasn't about that.
Are you going to be there on Saturday for the, I'm blank on the name of it.
I am the NAACP March.
Yeah.
They
call it AMA.
Yeah, so it's the AMA, NAACP, and other organizations. Their premises are not particularly my ideology. They're more reformist. That said, anybody who's organizing, I support them. That's just my perspective. It's just not, I'm about abolishing the system of oppression, not having a seat at the table, and slowly chipping away at it until we get that seat. And so I support people who are organizing and who are fighting for liberation. And I cannot argue with you if you are organizing for that.
I'm just going to mention that real quick. I'll probably mention it later on the show, or maybe I already mentioned it, but this is on Saturday, January 28th. It's the March and Rally for Justice and Equality, the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. And it's going to be at the Oregon Convention Center in front of the MLK statue. And I believe I looked at this earlier. It was leaving promptly at 10:30. Yes, 10:30 sharp. And it's permitted. It's a permitted march. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that on my show. But thank you so much for your time.
Yeah.
And we could have a way longer conversation. I'd love to, but I got to get some production done.
Yeah. You should have a conversation with Joanne Hardesty, who's the NAACP, about equality versus equity.
Okay. That's a really interesting. Well, you know, I listen to her show every Thursday morning on the way to work. And today I was like, what happened? She wasn't on. She just took a little break, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
And they talked about the hierarchy of the marches today, didn't they?
Yeah, and yeah, I can talk to you more about it off.
Yes,
but thank you so much for your time.
No problem.
And if people want to hear you and your knowledge, and you know, because I've always felt like you're like, I'm here and you're like light years beyond me, and you're
not about that, my brother.
Your vibe is always kind of resonating higher level and pulling me up, you know. Shower at home, getting ready. I'm getting all my music ready. I'm like, oh, is she talking about? Wow, it's like mind blowing. And some of it's like, what does that mean? I have to kind of like absorb and soak in. So for the last like 4 or 5 years I've been listening, I'm like, it's slowly kind of sinking in, and I'm growing with it. But people want to hear you when?
So guess who's coming to radio? Second and fourth Thursdays. The second Thursday is 7 to 10 p.m. And the fourth Thursdays, they are 8 to 10 p.m.
Great. So 5 hours a month, you can hear this lovely young lady bring her knowledge. And you're East Coaster, right?
Very much so. Very much so.
NYC?
NYC all the way, yes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.